Hello, and welcome to another VS Code live event. I'm your host, Brian Clark, and we have some fun in store for you today, focused around source control management and how you can manage it better, your source controlling stuff. Anyway, reminder, some quick reminders before we get into it and bring our guest on that's going to present to you. Check out VS Code YouTube account, youtube.com/code, just like on Twitter, twitter.com/code. These are all recorded, so if you can't join us live and you want to go back and reference it, you can do so. It's wonderful. Go check that out. In addition to that, the VS Code team is on TikTok. Lots of fun, interesting stuff, tips and tricks, and just, you know, all around good time. Check it out. TikTok.com/@VS Code on there. We got to work on that code one there. And last but not least, meetup group, meetup.com. You can sign up there to get reminders for these events, know about which ones are upcoming, and you can plan ahead. Work your schedule into being able to tune in live so you can get your questions answered live by the presenters, folks directly on the VS Code team. How cool is that, right? I think so. In any case, without further ado, let's bring on our presenter for today, Eric, who's going to be talking to us about Git Lens. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Yeah, excited.
That's good to hear. So, I'm going to let you take it away. Tell us about your tips and tricks that you got for Git Lens.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I figured to start off just with a little bit, you know, if you haven't seen Git Lens before, you know, it's an extension for VS Code that basically supercharges the source control stuff that's already built into VS Code and, you know, adds a whole bunch of new features on top of that. It's been about, 5 years now. Originally started just by me falling in love with VS Code and then shipping an extension API. And I just wanted to start playing with an extension and learn TypeScript at the time, because the team I was working on, I wanted to bring TypeScript into what we were doing. And we were also new to Git, so I wanted to help my team out. So it all just started by seeing this Code Lens feature in the Visual Studio product. For Git, and seeing if I could do the same thing in or similar thing in VS Code. And that sort of started it, and it's just, you know, sort of snowballed and expanded far beyond what I ever expected. But it's been an incredible ride. So let's dive in here. I wanted to start, Git Lens has a welcome page. You probably had seen it if you used Git Lens, but you probably just closed it immediately. But it does have a really good, quick setup for some of the most visible features of Git Lens. So, you got the current line blame, here it'll actually show you like what it's talking about. You can toggle them on and off. The Git Code Lens that I had just mentioned, you can toggle those on and off and see exactly what you're getting, the status bar, as well as controlling, Git Lens adds a lot of views. You can control whether they all show up under the source control icon here, or if it adds a new Git Lens one, so you can toggle between that. And then finally, for different locales, or you just want to see dates formatted differently, you can just put, any sort of information, any sort of date format in here. So you can, if you want your date formatted differently, you can do that and see your dates all there, and if you don't like the relative formatting. So just some quick things to get started there. The next feature I wanted to really dive into is the little navigation area up here in the editor bar. So this allows you to, open changes with the previous version of the file. So if you wanted to walk back in history, you can just quickly keep walking through the commits and see how this file has changed over time. And you can, go backward and forward. So it makes it very easy to just quickly jump through history and see how things evolved. Inside that, and each side of the diffs, you can see which commits they are. And here, so if I'm on the right side, you can click the little commit icon here, and it'll open information specific about this commit. So if I wanted to, I can see information about it here, see the files that were changed, execute commands based on those files, that sort of thing. So you can get a bunch of rich actions based on that. And if you, switch to the other side, you'll see it opens up the other commit, and you can see the information for what changed in that. So you can get very rich information to dive through that. And then related, you can also, as these commands here Actually, one thing before that is you notice if I hover over here, there's a little tooltip and it is an alt. So VS Code has this ability of alt commands. You can execute alt commands by holding the alt button and then clicking the command. And this one here, you'll see little dots up here. So instead of walking back to the previous version, you can actually pick, a version that you wanted to compare with. So it makes it very easy. So that'll take you, the current version you're on now and compare it back to that version. So if you wanted to do that, you can also say, if I wanted to compare what this looked like on a different branch, you can compare it that way as well. So that's a, nice powerful feature. So you can really get down to what you want to compare. And then finally, the other thing with this comparison is you can compare to, on the line so that you can, there's hotkeys that, so I went back and compared how that line of code changed. So this line of code, came in on this commit. So now I'm not just walking back for all the revisions of the file, but really the revisions of that line. So that's a powerful way to jump between that and see how things came in. So that's the navigation stuff. The next thing, if you use GitLens, you might know that there's this file annotation feature, so you can blame the whole file and see how each line of what commit brought in that line or changed it most recently. But there's also you can hit escape to quickly jump out of any of these annotations. But there's also two other annotations here. One is the heat map, so you can turn this on and you can see both in the status bar and in the gutter here. Hot and cold areas of the code. So the blue areas of the code haven't changed in a while, and the closer to red, orange, they've changed much more recently. So you can very quickly get an overview of the whole file and see where areas have changed, most recently. Similarly, the toggle file changes here it basically will show you kind of similar to the way VS Code shows you the gutters for changes. It shows them over here, and you can see these are the changes that have come into the file in the last commit. And you can see the actual change, the whole diff of that change related to that commit and how that changed. So you can see the whole local change and compare it. So you can very easily navigate through and open up to a file and see exactly what the last commit to that file was and see those changes. And again, you can always just hit escape to get out of those. The next thing I wanted to show is, GitLens has the rich hovers. So you can, hover over the annotations here and get sort of rich information about this commit. You can see here, I have auto-linking support for a bunch of different remote providers, so GitHub, GitLab, Azure DevOps, Bitbucket, where it tries to, detect, certain patterns in the commit message to see if there's, linkable issues. So you can actually, click that link and you can, it'll take you off to GitHub. But here you can see that there's this, newer connect to GitHub feature. So if I actually connect to GitHub here, you'll see that this actually changes, and now there's more information that comes in. So first, you'll notice up here it says, this commit was 3 months ago, but came in as part of this PR. So now you can easily see, that this commit was contributed to the code base as part of this PR. And then GitLens here shows you sort of like a, kind of footnotes-esque of all the things that it found in the commit message and the PR. So you can see the PR with the message there. You can click to jump out to GitHub, and it also tells you its status, that this was merged 3 months ago. And then this was the issue related to that. And so now, closes 139. Well, so, now I know what the message of 139 was. So it makes it a lot easier, especially on some teams, right? You might just have fixes and an issue number. And so it makes it harder in the history to figure out what that change was actually for. I know it's from an issue, but then I got to click on the issue. So now this could avoid that, so you can see it right here in line. So if you connect to GitHub, you get that much richer information. Let's see, the next thing I wanted to show is GitLens has a very rich set of settings. and so it has its own settings editor. So, from the command prompt, GitLens open settings will take you to, all of GitLens settings. So you can see here, if we look at just like what the current line blame, you can decide whether or not, you want to see PR information in the actual annotation. You can actually control what the format of the message is here. So you have all these tokens that you can actually input here. So, if you wanted to, we wanted to put in, say, changes indicator. Put that right in the middle here. That's not where I wanted it. And you can see changes was not a good one, but let's just pick pull request. And you can see that, the PR will get put in there. And so you can, put in any information you want there, and then it will be reflected in the thing. So, here I've actually changed it. GitLens by default adds the message at the end of this, but I like seeing the message first before the author and the date. So I've switched that order around. So you can do very rich formatting here, and a lot of the parts of GitLens will let you format that. And then in the code lens is another area of, where GitLens puts stuff right in your editor. So you could easily, obviously toggle it off, or if you want to control a little bit more about it, there's kind of different scopes of where it will show. So if you don't want it to show at the top of the file, you can turn that off. Or if you don't want to show like on functions, but only on, these sort of container items like classes or namespaces, you can turn off the function scope. So you can kind of dial in of how much you want to see there. And then additionally, there's two types of annotations. There's the recent thing here. So who's changed this most recently, the author and how long ago, and then how many authors here. And so you can toggle those individually on and off, but you can also change when they're clicked. You can A, have them do nothing, and they won't have any interactive nature, or you can actually decide all these different actions on what you want to happen. So like, you can turn on the blame when you do that, or turn on the heat map, or show more details of the commit, or show a history. There's basically lots of things that you can do from those actions, so you can really control how that behavior is. Similarly, the status bar, you can control the format in information. You can also decide whether you want it on the right or the left, as well as what happens if you click on it. let's see, and then finally in here is you can get a lot more control over the hovers. So, if you don't want to see the avatars on there or the pull request information, you can control that. If you want to, show hovers for the current line, you want to be able to hover over the line or just over the annotation part, so you can control that. If you don't want to see the diff part, you can actually just turn the diff off. Or if you only want to see the diff part, you can just turn that on. So this is for the current line annotations, but you can you have same control over when you're showing the other annotations how those will show up, and then finally we'll dive into views. So GitLens offers quite a bunch of new views that by default here go to the source control view. The main one is probably most interesting is the commits view. So this shows you sort of, a history of your repository. It also shows you your status with your upstream. So you can see here that, I'm currently up to date with that. If I made some little change and committed it here. Why are you not showing up? I don't know why this change is not actually showing up. Weird. All right, I don't know. But if I were to commit that, you'd see a new commit, and with an up arrow, a green arrow would show you that you have commits that you haven't yet pushed to the remote. You also in here, as you notice, as I hover over these items, you get sort of rich hover information. So same sort of thing that you get in the other hovers, it'll show you, you can see that this is the point, the origin main is the tip on the remote's pointing to this commit. You can see the commit and same information here. You can get the rich information of the, associated PRs or issues. And then there's some, toggle modes that you can do here. So, it's not going to do much because a lot of these commits here are me, but you can change from showing all commits to now showing only my commits. So, if you wanted just to quickly collapse down and only show things that you've committed to quickly find what you're looking for, you can filter that down. Additionally, if I look at, a commit here, take this, if I can toggle the view, so I can go into, auto, list, or tree. So tree is going to show you, it in a tree structure, and list will obviously be flat. And then auto is kind of like a mix in between them, depending on how many files. So if there's only a few files, I forget exactly what the threshold is, probably less than 10 or 6 or so. If there's about that many files, you'll just see them in a list, and over that, you'll see them in a tree. And then, you can hide other bits about it. You don't want to see the avatars. You just want to see the, commits. Don't want to see more icons there, or, there's other things for hiding the pull requests and markers and that sort of stuff. So you can show that, and hide this. This feature here is also quite important, depending on what you're working on. You can very quickly compare your current tree against some other branch. So like if I wanted to see, I always wanted to see what the upstream, the difference between those, here there's not going to be, any real difference. But if I wanted to always compare the branch that I'm on to some other branch, I can quickly see how many commits I'm behind from that branch, see, what files are different, what the commits are, how many commits I'm ahead, and you can see all those. And then, just the list of files. So then I can actually just, in all the different commits I'm here, these are the differences between those sort of things. So it gives you a very powerful way of quickly having a comparison to any one place. So, if you're working on a feature branch, you maybe always want to compare back to the main branch or something along those lines. So it's definitely something that's, quite powerful. You can also just quickly toggle that. So if you wanted to, you don't want to take the working tree into account, you just want to what's committed on the branch you're on, you can also just toggle that quickly as well. The next view here that's very popular is, file history. So file history has, again, shows you the history of the file that you're looking at. You can actually, by default, it follows whatever file you have open, but you can also open that directly from here. So if I wanted to see the file history of another file, you'll see that it tells you the file name, but it's also pinned. So pinned means even as I change the active file, this won't change. So I can just unpin that and it'll go back to following. Additionally, like if I wanted to just know what changed in this folder, I can open the folder history. So it'll just switch into just showing me everything that's the history of just that specific folder. So I can see what changed in there. And it's only going to show me the files that have changed that are in that folder as well. and one other thing is there's a toggle mode for the file history. So you can switch it from file history to line history mode. So the line history will actually change as you click on each line. So you can see the history of how those lines changed. And if you wanted to, you can also show a line history view. So so you can keep this in file history mode and additionally have the file history, the line history showing you those additionally as well. You can, there's some other features here. You can toggle it for, the current branch, or if you want to change what branch you're actually showing the file history for, you can, choose and pick a different branch here. And you can also choose whether or not you want to follow files that have been renamed. And let's see, so that's pretty much file history. Bunch more views in here. Another one that I wanted to talk about was the search and compare view. So similar to, the comparison, similar to the other node that I showed inside the commits view. So you can hit compare and you can choose, your source, what you want to start with, and you want to compare the working tree to some other branch in history. So you can actually go through and see all the files, what has changed between those branches. And you can actually, if there's a sort of a comparison or there's a set of comparisons that you always want there, you can actually pin them. Every time you reopen this workspace, these comparisons will be here. And you can, rerun the compare if something changed or you do something there, or if you just want to swap the order, you can swap that quickly. It makes it really easy to, compare any two things in here, whether it's, branches or tags, anything, you can compare the differences there. Additionally, and you can also get to, you can decide too, if you want to keep all the results, or if you don't want to keep the results, like every compare will just overwrite the previous. So it's like just a one-shot view. So if you want to work in that mode, you can do that as well. And you can use the plus button as well as the buttons here. Another feature is the search. So you can actually search by message, author, commit, SHA, or even like changes in the file. So if I wanted to search by any change where the word remove was in there, you can come through and it'll show me all the commits and the files where the word remove came in to that. So that's definitely powerful to go through and be able to see the search and if you want to refine it, you can actually go through and edit it again. So the powerful things here too, there's also these little toggles up here. So if you want to match the case or you want to match all the words or want to use sort of regex matching, you can toggle those features on by doing that as well. So there's powerful search facilities. And then I think almost finally here, there's another view that I don't show by default. So you can sort of right click on any of the headers here, and you can actually see all the views that are here, and you can turn on the contributors view. So this view basically gives you an overview of all the contributors to the project. So it always puts you first, and then it's ordered by all the contributors there. So you can actually go through and see for these commits who contributed what, or if you're trying to see what someone committed last, and you know who did it, you can easily jump through here. So this provides you powerful jump off points. You can also here, if you want to add this person as a co-author, so if you're working together on something, it'll go and add that to the commit message, so you can add them directly as a co-author. GitLens actually provides a co-author command too. You can do that, and then you can actually pick them off for that. That's that one. There's a newer feature here where you can actually call the show statistics. It takes a little while depending on your repo to build the statistics. But then instead of just showing you, how many commits, it will actually show you, how many lines, additions and deletions that have been made by the individual contributors. So, sort of like you get on GitHub, where you can see, what was added and changed. That's that. And then finally, let's see, got a couple minutes here. Wanted to show one last feature. If I started a rebase here, and so if you're starting a rebase and you want to, GitLens now adds this interactive rebase editor. So you can actually come in here and drag and drop these commits if you wanted to reorder. You know, I wanted this one up here, or actually, you know, this commit wasn't good, or, you know, this commit actually just fixes up this previous one, and these I all want squashed into one commit here. You can actually, you know, reword that. So you can actually just, you know, visually go through, figure out, you know, it shows you here what's going to happen to them. You can actually jump into each commit to get some more information if you want to dive into the commit. You can actually show the commit in here so you can actually dive a little bit deeper. So it gives you a lot of power, and then you can, you know, start the rebase or, you know, switch back to the text if that's what you want or get that. So I think that about covers the main things. The last one here in the last few seconds, GitLens has this idea of, like, they call them modes, the kind of profiles. So it comes with two built-in profiles, like the Zen mode and this review mode. So if you wanted to, you know, turn GitLens, all, you know, all the annotations, all the code lens that GitLens adds, or sort of any other stuff, you know, to the status bar, you can quickly just hop into GitLens Zen mode and it hides all that. And then when you, you know, exit out, it'll go back to how your settings are. So you can do the same thing for, you know, a review mode, which basically, you know, if you have your settings like off by default and then you want to go into reviewing, it can turn, you know, all the different features back on. And then you can, you know, you can also custom define in your settings. There's like a JSON object that you can define for setting these up. So like this one, I created a custom one. It shows recent changes. So like, you know, now every file I navigate to will then show the recent changes on that file. So it automatically turns the, you know, that annotation on for me. And you can control, you know, maybe I want blame on all the time, or, you know, the file changes or heat map, you can turn those on as well. And so, yeah, that's just a simple way of having profiles.
Very, very cool stuff. And there's a lot, holy moly, there's a lot to absorb there and a lot of awesome features that GitLens has packed into it. So thank you for doing your best there to try and highlight a bunch of that as well. And
whirlwind tour.
What's that?
The whirlwind tour.
The whirlwind tour. I like the way, yeah, I like that. Well, let's get one right off the bat, a question out of the way. What theme? What theme are you using so that folks know?
So this is my own theme. It's called Amethyst, and there's dark and light modes of it. So there's a few different modes in it, but yeah, it's my own.
Okay, very cool. All right, so question for you about GitLens from the chat that I think you might have answered shortly after this question was posted, but I want to double check. So this is from Butis. So I hope I'm getting the pronunciation correctly. Can you compare a local branch against a PR from a fork? It looked like you were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't see the, like, you know, if you pulled down the branch locally, then yes. And so you can compare that. If it's not on your upstream, no, there isn't a facility to pull that from the other fork. You'd have to, you know, pull that down yourself.
Gotcha. Okay. So I thought of another question while you were going through all that. With all these things that are packed into GitLens, that I know you've worked on personally to some degree or another as the main contributor of it, what has been your personal favorite feature you worked on as part of GitLens? And I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit with that one, but what would that be if you could think of one?
Yeah, I mean, definitely without a doubt, it's the, you know, line blame. Because to me, that's one of the greatest features of it, because, you know, the whole thing for me, what I want to do with GitLens is to make it easier to understand code. So like you can get into a code base and see changes and give you more context. So, you know, developers don't comment code very well. So this is another form of showing those quote unquote comments, because you have to write a commit message. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to see that right in context and see why this line is here, to me is by far the most valuable feature.
And I got to say, I love that feature too, because when I'm looking to go blame somebody, I get that, like, you think I'm going somewhere with this, but really in reality, I'm not, I don't end up blaming somebody else. It ends up being myself that I blame for that line of code.
It's always prior you.
Yeah, exactly. What was I doing prior me?
That guy does not know how to write code.
Yeah, even today. So with GitLens being such a widely popular extension for VS Code, what's the experience like for folks that are, you know, maybe kind of to that point where we were just talking about, where, you know, working in public and sharing your code like that, what's the experience like for you working in public, especially on a project that gets a lot of visibility like this?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, the working in public part is really cool. And, you know, just seeing, you know, how things evolve and being able to just throw up changes and that sort of thing. I think the harrowing or nerve-wracking part is having so many users to push out a release. So, you know, being able to, you know, releasing to a whole set in one go is definitely scary. You know, one thing I've done relatively recently, I mean, it's probably been a little bit while now, but is set up CI systems. So I have, you know, auto builds that, you know, release a nightly version of GitLens. So if you want to check that out, there's, you know, GitLens Insiders version that gets built every night if there's any changes. And that helps me, you know, sort of take some of that scariness out of that big release that goes to everyone, because I have a group of users that are using the Insiders version, just, you know, sort of just like VS Code's Insiders version. So I can see if things break or things, you know, have issues. But it also lets me test out things earlier and get feedback from people earlier before it goes out to everyone. So I feel like that's a great avenue. That's, you know, definitely changed things for me. It's made things a lot better and easier.
Nice. It's very interesting. I can imagine it can be intimidating to push that release button. I imagine a lot of folks are really interested in this extension from watching this session, or maybe they were prior to this, and maybe they're interested in helping support you. What's the best way that folks can help support you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, definitely, you know, one of the challenges always with, you know, popular projects is just issues and triaging issues and being able to reproduce issues. So, you know, any help on that, or improving, you know, the documentation, which is really basically the README file, those sort of things are greatly appreciated. You know, especially too, as you know, projects get older and evolve, you know, a lot of the common cases are been covered at different points in time. So you get more, you know, challenging setups to figure out. You know, it's like, you know, you're using this sort of remote, or, you know, Bitbucket and this sort of thing, and this in my environment, you know, in my corporate environment, it gets very hard for me to set up those sort of things and test them out and try to figure out. So, you know, if the community can help out for those who have access to those things, can help out in those sort of things, those are the greatest help. And, you know, of course, if you want to sponsor the project, that's also definitely would be great.
Excellent. All right. Well, a comment from chat too, by the way, from Eddie there said, I learned of stuff I didn't know about GitLens, and they wanted to personally thank you, Eric, for your session today and what you've shown to everybody. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface, to be honest with you, because again, having this model of, you know, model, so to speak, of an extension that's very widely used, there's probably a lot of learnings you've had over the lifetime of this project that we can maybe dive a bit deeper. So I'd love to have you on another time, Eric, if you're open to doing that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Absolutely. Excellent.
All right, folks. Well, that about does it for this session. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you again to Eric for showing us about 10 tips around GitLens to help us with our source control management in VS Code. We hope you have a good rest of your day wherever you are in the world. And be sure to check out the recording if you'd like. It's up on youtube.com/code again, so you can go back and reference it. And for future events, don't forget about meetup.com. It'll help remind you, schedule it, plan it, be there, so you can get your questions asked live during the session. So again, thank you. Have a good day. Happy coding.
Awesome. Thanks.